We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hong Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome into this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by Hong Kombucha. It's fizzy, delicious, and made with antioxidants, probiotics, and all organic ingredients. Hong Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend. For all of Beaver Nation, Adley Rutschman, our guest this week. Adley, first of all, thanks for taking time. Hank Hager was just here before we started the conversation. He told you, and you were happy, Hank's finally going to see Avengers tonight. I've yet to see it. I think John has. But what about this whole process for you? I didn't get to this on the television side yesterday, but Hank Hager, your coaches, the people that are helping you kind of in these last few weeks at Oregon State with the draft coming and all the attention coming your way, how much has Hank been a help to kind of manage and gatekeep a little bit, as well as your coaches, in a process where you could be doing things like this all day long, considering the number of requests you get?
He's been a huge help. I think the best thing that we have is the relationship and the ability for me to just kind of filter everything through him. If someone asks me directly, I just say talk to Hank about it. And so he's been great with it, and you know, he understands how it goes. He's a professional, and you know, he's a great guy too. So fun to talk to, fun to mess with.
Do you understand it, Adley, in terms of the attention that is coming your way? You say he gets it, he filters it. How are you doing with all of the requests, all of the interviews? Here's another one here today with John and with me. How is that for you in your world, trying to go to school, trying to help your team win another championship?
It's good. I enjoy it. You can only do it for so long, and so, you know, you got to make the most of it. I think it's, you know, a blessing to, you know, be in the situation that I'm in and, you know, have the opportunities ahead. So I think, you know, Oregon State provides great opportunities and has a great support system.
Do you know that once you're a pro, it ramps up? I mean, the questions are going to be tougher. There's going to be more expectation. You know, the fans are going to be a little bit more, maybe not as nice. I mean, Beaver fans are great. But, you know, it's the pressure mounts as you get it to be a pro. Are you ready for that?
Well, I'm glad you told me now. I can start preparing for it. No, I've talked to a lot of guys, Nick Madrigal, Trevor Larnach, and, that's what they talk about when they come back. So it's, something that you prepare for, and you got to be, confident in who you are as a person before you step onto that kind of stage.
You'll step onto a major league stage, we all believe, maybe even before this year is over, but soon. And you told the Athletic writer Dan Connolly, you've told us in other contexts, Adley, you've been kind of thinking about that for a long time. When did baseball kind of first get a grip on your soul? And somebody asked you what you wanted to do, and you said, well, major league baseball player.
It's something I wanted to do when I was a kid. I had teachers ask me when I was growing up, okay, we're going to, do career day, and what do you want to do for your career? And, some of the kids would put down NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball, and I'd always put down MLB. The teacher would then come up and say, hey, okay, let's put down a real profession. So it was one of those situations, and I'd always put down something else, garbage man, or, yeah, exactly, or something. And in my mind, I was kind of like, okay, I'll show you type thing. But
it's one of those things, every kid has that dream, like you mentioned, but most of us learn very quickly it's not going to happen, whether we don't grow to a certain height if we want to be in the NBA or whatever. It never really happened for you, did it? Because you succeeded pretty much at every level all the way through.
Yeah, I think there was definitely a point in my life where I had doubts about if I was even good enough to play college baseball. Going through middle school, you kind of have that moment where you're not so much of a kid anymore, to where you take a look at the world around you and you're like, okay, I'm competing with all the guys around the country to go to Oregon State to play baseball. Am I good enough to even be on the Oregon State team, let alone, a college team? So, you have those doubts going through your mind, but as you grow and mature, you learn a lot.
How did your parents handle the, I'm going to be a major league baseball player? I mean, did they ever give you that sort of teacherly, yes, but study hard, have some other options too? I mean, did you get a little bit of that just because it's wise?
Yeah, my parents are both teachers, so me getting good grades in school was very important to them. I think they are the most supportive parents, though. I think if I have a passion for something, they would always support me in that. And that's all they really wanted from me, is just passionate about what I was doing. But obviously the academics were a very important deal to them. I got a 3.96 in high school, and I think, for them that was, one of those baseline things, setting good habits so that when I came here and was on my own, I would continue that.
Did the grades come easy, or did you have to work for them? 3.96 is not easy.
Some of them, some classes. High school is, hit or miss with some subjects. My mom, she was a math teacher, so, I was able to take calculus and get her help every night and, go home and learn the material, and she's a great teacher, so that made it easier. But some of the other, topics were a little more difficult, writing and, some of the finer things in school I was not as good at.
Now, realistically, you're going to have a Major League Baseball career, and it could span many, many years, and you could maybe stay in baseball or what. But is there anything else you're interested in if you have a very good Major League career, but let's say you retire at 38, you got a whole working world ahead of you. What else might you want to do?
That's a good question. It's something that I ask myself, and, thank goodness I hopefully have a couple more years to decide. But, I think I'm a business major right now, and I think dealing with money has always intrigued me. And then there's the side of personal relations I really enjoy. So if I was able to work with people and, manage money at the same time, I think that'd be something I'd be interested in.
Tim Ewes.
Yeah. Well, Adley,
good guy.
Yeah, Tim's a great guy and one of our favorite sons, the expression we use through the years with athletes that move on from the program, that it sounds like from afar as a young kid you were aware, you said you hoped you could be good enough to play here someday. So tell us a little bit about when Oregon State baseball, you began to be aware, hey, there's a pretty good program down the road from where I am.
I think it was when, so my dad and Coach Bailey coached together at Fox, Coach Casey coached there as well when he was starting his career. When Bailey moved down here to coach, I think that was when I really became aware of it, because I was so used to being around the George Fox practices with both of them. So him and my dad kept in close touch, and he'd be down here and I'd watch the games. And that's kind of how my Oregon State connection got started.
And you observed those teams, though, and knew that that's good baseball. So did you honestly, I hope you're not just, you know, I don't think you're just humoring us, but you actually, as you were growing and seeing what was going on here, knew you had to be pretty good to wear the Beaver gear.
Oh, absolutely. You understand the standard that's set here, and it's very high, and it's a culture that's been created over many years, and, you know, it's something that we strive to keep.
You're a movie buff, aren't you?
Absolutely.
So is this guy.
Old movies, though, and yeah. But what kind of movies do I like? If you know that, Adley, I mean, I know, does your range, are you able to go back and watch old stuff, classic black and white things, or are you more of a modern day guy?
I'll go back as far as my dad watched movies. So, you know, black and white stuff, not as much, but definitely 70s, 80s, okay. 90s. Give me an example. I might have watched it. All the Clint Eastwood stuff my dad was a big fan of. You know, he was a big action, you know, junkie of the 80s. And so, you know, the only black and white one I really will go back to is It's a Wonderful Life. Love that movie.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's a great title. It's a wonderful movie. I've seen probably 50 times. But you were asking the question, John, about movies. So what do you got?
I'm curious, too. You changed your walk-up music, which I love your Phil Collins.
But it's back to Phil.
Back to Phil from the Avengers. Was that just kind of an experiment?
That was just for the opening weekend of Infinity War. Part of the reason, too, I wasn't going to do it, but Kevin Abel wanted me to do that song from the start of the year. And I thought it would have been a cool idea, but it worked out that, you know, Avengers came out when it did, and I could just kind of pawn it off as just being for the weekend because it came out.
And what did you think of Avengers?
It was great. Yeah. Phenomenal.
They wrapped it up nicely, didn't they?
Very, very well constructed movie with, you know, wrapping up all the subplots and so many characters.
Very nice.
Now, I hear you talk about these things, and when you broke down Us for us at the yogurt place a while back, I also thought, yeah, I mean, honestly, as much as you may want to work with athletes and money, and, you know, after your baseball career is over, have you ever been an admirer of Marvel and that whole series? I mean, have you ever that entertainment business is interesting, too.
Yes, absolutely. But I think, you know, after living with George Mendizona, he's more of the entertainment type, and I realize I can't really compete with that. So if it's people like him in the business, then I really have no shot.
What do you tell us about George? How does he carry himself through life that you say he sets a standard for the entertainment world that's hard for maybe other guys to meet?
Well, he's funny. I live with him all the, you know. So I get to be around him, you know, on the baseball field and also at home, and, you know, for every single meal, you know, he's probably the guy I'm around the most. So I get to hear him. He's funny. He just carries himself in a way that's just always happy and always excited to be, you know, alive and, you know, being able to play baseball here and enjoy the sunshine right now. And it's a different feeling when you're around him and you can't help but smile.
You know, when you're young, and I remember being the age that you are, it can be a friend or a peer that you actually take stuff from that you want to go forward in your own life. Is George kind of, it sounds like he kind of does that for you on the whole always being positive thing.
On that front, absolutely. some, you know, he's also a goofy guy, so I wouldn't say he's exactly a role model on that front. But, you know, definitely. You know, the way he carries himself sometimes, but, you know, he can be a, you know, screwball. So sometimes, you know, you're like, okay, fun to laugh with and at sometimes.
Are you, how are you handling this whole situation with scouts? And, you know, Mike asked you about all the requests for interviews, but are you tiring of it? Are you able to put that aside and focus on Beaver baseball and what your craft is?
Yeah, I think that's the only way to do it. I think focusing on the team and winning as a team and being a good teammate, if you can do that and focus on the process of just making yourself the best person possible, I think all the draft stuff really takes care of itself because, you know, you can't really do anything else besides that.
Our conversation with Adley is always on our Beaver Sports podcast, brought to you in part by the Heat Pump Store, your local ductless heating and cooling experts. join the duckless revolution. In It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey's kind of an old soul as a young kid, which I appreciate the character development in that film. You've struck me, Adley, as having kind of a, already at a young age, at 21, an appreciation for this and savoring this and understanding that there's going to come a time that there's years down the road when you're going to look back at this. You're in the middle of it, and you're already understanding, maybe from observing other players who've come back and what they've told you about how special these days are.
Absolutely. I feel like every single person who's had significant experiences in their life always says that, you know, savor the moment, you know, live in the moment, don't look too far down the road, you know, into the future, you know, enjoy what you have now. So I think I try and have that perspective as often as possible. Obviously, it's very hard to keep that perspective just because a lot of time you get caught, you know, looking forward. But, you know, I think with so many guys saying it, it's very hard not to enjoy the moments that you have here. And, you know, after, you know, thinking about it for a while, it is a special thing, and it's something, you know, that I'm going to remember forever, and, you know, I really don't want to end.
Yeah. What about this experience, actually this time of your life, classes, friends, the guys, what's the best part about it?
You just named a lot of good things. I think it's the people, honestly. I think it's the guys that I get to be around every day, the coaching staff, the support system, the counselors, the teachers. All of it is so involved in the community and involved in the baseball program and invested in your success. So because of that, I don't think you're ever going to find, you know, more people invested in you know, young people's success. And, you know, I get to play in front of 3,000 fans every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here at Goss. And they're very invested in our team and what we're doing. So where else are you going to find that?
Yeah.
They are so invested. Do you ever, I mean, so invested that right now in Beaver Nation, I sense, and we're on the front lines with our talk shows and the things we do, well, what's going on? You know, how can we be losing these games? I mean, they're invested with you and care deeply. You get that. What would a message be to Beaver Nation right now heading down the stretch? Just kind of about, I remember talking to you a year ago when you lost back-to-back series, and you said, we just got to ride this thing out. We're going to come out of it okay on the other side. Kind of what's a message you're sharing maybe internally to yourself, to your teammates, and to everybody who cares about this program right now?
I think baseball's a funny game. You're going to go through, you know, parts of the season where you're scuffling a little bit. And I think right now is kind of one of those times. So for us, it's just getting through this. I think we've seen how we can play when we're at our best, and it's very good. We've played with, you know, some of the best teams in the country, and I think we are one of those teams. So just keeping that in mind, and you know, knowing that moving forward, we're going to give it our best effort, and I think we're going to try and, you know, win another national championship. So. And I don't think anyone's going to be too disappointed if that happens.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of wallowing. I mean, we were here yesterday, and the guys were really having a great time out here in the outfield during practice. And you, I suppose in youth, you have short-term memory for bad stuff. And it looked like a pretty spirited group yesterday.
I think that's definitely what we're going for. There's definitely it's hard after a couple losses. It really is, and you can tell that sometimes there's guys hanging their heads. So I think at practice yesterday, and you know, and whatever we're doing now, we're trying to, you know, look ahead and really focus on what we're trying to do instead of what we've done.
I don't want to, we haven't talked much about this, and I've not been comfortable. I have so much love and respect for both men, and Pat Casey and Pat Bailey. But what's a year been like, Adley, you know, with Bales as the head coach, a guy you've known your whole life? But are you still going about everything the same way? But Casey's, he's not there on a day-to-day basis after being here for 24 years. So what's the overall mood, tone, feel been like for you this year on this team?
You know, obviously I don't want to take anything away from Case because he was a legacy coach and a legacy person. I think, you know, it's very hard to fill in those kind of shoes. But I think Coach Bailey has done it as best that he can, because he is a phenomenal coach. He's done a phenomenal job. He's a phenomenal person, and everyone on the team knows that he's has their best interests in mind. So Understanding who he is as a person, how good of a person he is, and how good and experienced of a coach he is. He's done a great job this year. And I think the mood, keeping most of the coaches the same has kept the mood the same and the culture the same.
Your first coach was your dad, and in the athletic story, something John and I both appreciated. Tell it. We'll have you tell it. For those who haven't seen the story by Dan Connolly in The Athletic, it runs like a mini novella. F. Scott Fitzgerald and Hemingway would be happy with the length. But it's well written, insightful, a lot of anecdotal things that we were unaware of. But your own observations as a young ball player, watching other dads at practices saying a lot of stuff to their kids, whereas Randy, your father, apparently was saying less to you, and you actually asked him about it. Tell us that story a little bit.
I want to say it was in high school. I was hitting BP on the field one day because that's just what we did every day. I'd always ask him to, hey, Dad, can you throw me BP? Okay. He's already got the balls in the trunk and ready to go. So we're out at BP, and I'm having a rough day. I'm just rolling over everything and can't seem to find my swing. And, I'm just thinking to myself, while I'm swinging, rolling over balls, I'm like, what is my dad doing right now? I'm just thinking about all the kids I hear at games and their parents just stay on the ball from the bleachers and yelling at their kids. And I've hit BP with, other kids and their, parents. Yeah. And it's nothing like how I, do BP with my dad. So I'm just thinking about that. And all of a sudden, I just kind of burst out. I was like, I got angry. I was like, Dad, are you just going to sit here and let me flounder? Can you not see that I'm struggling right now? Like, every other dad would have said something about 15 minutes ago. And he just kind of looks at me, and he's smiling because he's just happy to be out here and throwing to his kid. And he's like, okay, you want me to let you know what I'm doing? And I was like, yes, please. And he's like, okay, so here's what I see in your swing. And kind of just went into, short little thing about what he saw going on. We made adjustments from there. And that was kind of when I realized that if I wanted advice or help with my swing or any part of my game, that I'd have to ask him. And I think that developed a really good relationship between me and my dad, because, now it's kind of like hitting BP. He knows I'm going to ask. And so now he always is ready to answer. And I trust him as a coach and as a person. So it was kind of a cool experience and a learning thing on my own part, because I learned that I needed to ask, and he wanted to know that I wanted to know from him.
Well, and actually a learning thing too, because that's just great parenting. You saw it completely opposite the way most everybody does. Everybody thinks it's really bad. The parents are too hard on the kids. They're demanding too much. But the competitive juices in you were like, Dad, where's this coaching? He did the right thing. I speak as a parent because he waited for you to ask. Otherwise, he would just be another parent, just drilling home stuff to you.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to think sometimes too that, I'm a very competitive person, and that, he knew I was going to eventually ask instead of just being like, oh, it's fine. I'm just happy to be out here. Yeah, I think he kind of knew I was going to get, he saw me getting frustrated. He knows me well.
Yeah.
So
that's a great story.
Where does your mom come in all of this? Your dad, described in The Athletic by Pat Bailey, is one of the best catching coaches in America. So you came here having learned the craft from one of the best teachers and coaches. Through all of this, your mom, Carol, who I just think is one of the nicest people I've ever come across in my years at Oregon State, she's your mom. Where is she in all of this in your upbringing?
Well, I think she kind of left most of the baseball stuff to my dad. But she was, she's the golfer of the family. And she played a year at Pepperdine, golfed there. So I would always go out and golf with her during the summers. Every now and again, she would come out to BP. She'd just show up because she knew, it was an everyday thing that me and my dad would go out and hit BP. But my mom would just kind of, sit and watch sometimes and just enjoy it too. I think her and my dad are very similar. And so they're both very competitive. And, I have a lot of stories of how me and my mom, get into it on the golf course or on the ping pong table. She might be more competitive than my dad. Don't tell my dad I said that. But she is a fiery person when it comes to, anything other than baseball, Pictionary, golf, ping pong. We get into it pretty good. But it's, I think that's what I love about her too, is that, we can go back and forth. And and she's the most supportive person in my life. It's unbelievable how much she's done for me and how selfless of a person she is.
But with that competitive nature that goes all the way up to your grandfather and his successes, your parents, there's also a sense of humility and friendliness in the line. I worked with your grandfather 25, almost 30 years ago, and just thought, this guy is so nice. I mean, it's more important working with people who are nice, kind, and then get the job done than it is someone who wins championships. He's both ways. Did you learn that from them? Because they're competitive as all get up, but at the same time, very good people.
Absolutely. I think the one thing I can say about most of my family is they understand the big picture. And, you know, that is that, you know, relationships will last, you know, a lifetime, and being kind to everyone, you know, you're around is very important. You know, there's a lot of selfishness in our world today, and there's a lot of people who have very selfish ambitions and kind of will do anything to get it. And I think it's a very shallow way of living. And so I think that was taught to me by my parents and by my grandpa. And I think they've tried to instill that in me as much as possible. And, you know, obviously I'm not perfect, but I'm still, you know, I think that's what I strive for. And as, you know, I get older, I continue to try and get better at that in my life.
On your grandpa, Adley, if you waited, your dad kind of, you know, waited and then you asked, Dad, okay, yeah, tell me about my swing. Growing up around a legendary grandfather, did you ever, has there been a point with Grandpa tell me about, or did he ever just try to impart some things? I mean, have you had moments where that school of wisdom is on organically, so to speak, where it didn't, you know, Grandpa, tell me how I should be a better athlete? You know, I mean, how did that whole relationship go?
So, growing up, it took me a while to understand just how much of an impact he's had. As a kid, it's hard to, understand. I had my dad always trying to tell me, kind of, your grandpa's a legend, but you're like, okay, I don't really know what that means. But then, you know, as I got older, I started to figure it out. And so whenever I'd see him, or, when I was old enough to get a phone, that's kind of when he started to impart that on me. And I would ask instead of, him just kind of sharing stories. So I'd ask, hey, what do you think about my swing? You know, most of the wisdom stuff, he tells me though. Usually I wouldn't have asked as a younger kid, tell me about confidence, Grandpa. You know, that's not something. Tell me about gratitude, Grandpa. You know, that's not really something that you ask. I think, now those are more the conversations that we had, that we have, how to be a leader, stuff like that. Grandpa, what do you think about integrity? All the, more soft skill type things. But as a kid, I'd ask about stories and stuff. And Grandpa tell me about, your craziest story in college or as a coach. But now it's kind of gotten into more of the, those topics of leadership and how can I improve upon that. So it's kind of evolved in that sense.
I just like to sit down with them and talk to them about how do you coach a college to a national championship in both baseball and football. I mean, that's incredible.
The only one ever to do it.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Adley, last couple of things, and thank you for your time. On the swing that, one day you finally asked your dad about it during BP. But the swing is in constant evolution, isn't it, Adley? And even, for you to make the big jump in power that you have this year. Is that a process of just being able to learn how to generate more power both sides of the plate out of your swing? Have you specifically looked to you've hit some monstrous home runs this year, prodigious blasts. Have you looked to try to become a more powerful, and in that sense, more of a, quote, home run hitter this year?
I don't think I've tried to hit more home runs this year. I think as a result of my swing getting better and me getting stronger, I think it's led to that, not missing as many pitches. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I look at it. It's not that I'm looking to just elevate more, more baseballs.
Okay.
Was UCLA the best one, the best home run?
Everybody says to me T-Mobile Park, which I miss. So this one here was pretty darn good.
You hit the restaurant, but it was over the straightaway batter's eye at UCLA.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny to me, we're having conversations about which one's the best. I'm just, happy to hit a couple.
Well, on the 3-0 count, we'll kind of close on a baseball note. I was so glad against Washington State recently on the 3-0 count. You don't get to see that many pitches, and you saw one. I will tell you, one time in high school, I was pitching, and I threw a pitch, and the hitter saw it coming, and smiled as it was coming. I mean, he knew what he was going to do with it, and he did. Didn't hit it out, but almost killed me on a shot back through the box. In that situation, Adley, it was a special moment for fans, for everybody else, to take a 3-0 pitch and hit it 446 feet over the scoreboard. How did you have to kind of make sure that you stay in your shoes and don't get out too quickly on something like that?
Yes. There's a very big part of baseball that's mental. And on a 3-0 pitch, it's very easy to get big and pop it up. I wasn't trying to think about popping the ball up on a 3-0 because, you know, what you think about usually happens. So I was just kind of envisioning what I wanted to do, and that was just square it up, put a good swing on it, and I think the results kind of, you know, were a result of the process.
Yeah. So that's why he's called Clutchman, Captain America occasionally. Adley himself not into these nickname things, but it's kind of, your teammates will throw it out there every once in a while when the situation's appropriate, but they don't dwell on stuff like that because you don't really let them, I wouldn't think.
No, they're my friends, they're not fans, so it's a little different dynamic.
Okay. Last thing, and that is this weekend, Civil War, more of a, back to sort of getting back on track. You feel pretty good with what you've seen from young arms, Adley, even in the midst of a losing streak, to look at Jake Fennings and Andrew Walling and Dylan Pierce, how he competed the other day. We close with this kind of in the Athletic story about how you always greet pitchers, you know, coming off after every half inning. I've loved that from day one. Thought that was a special thing going on. And it looks like you're enjoying working with the current group of guys in the same way. Tell me a little bit about what you're seeing in the development of the pitchers this year.
I think we're being forced to have a lot more guys step up this year, which is a good thing. I'm happy with how they're developing. A lot of guys are stepping up to the challenge, which is good to see. And, you know, I'm just really proud of our staff right now and how they're competing on the mound. I think a lot of them are growing up and growing up quickly. So that's always good to see. And we have obviously a great staff here that's able to help them along and a lot of supportive teammates.
Thank you so much for the time, Adley.
Thanks, man.
Really appreciate it again. We will all savor these next few weeks together and month and deep run and another one coming, we believe. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, John.
Adley Rutschman, our guest on this week's Beaver Sports Podcast, which, of course, has also been brought to you in part by Visit Corvallis, experience Beaver Game Day live in Corvallis, and extend your stay to take in all the Willamette Valley has to offer. Visit Corvallis, come for the game and stay to play, and something that Adley knows about, being a business major. Doc, I'll let you close it.
Well, it has its perks. Oregon State University graduates are already qualified for a scholarship towards earning an MBA. The Beaver for Life Scholarship is designed specifically for alumni interested in boosting their career trajectory. Visit mba.oregonstate.edu/beaver today.
That'll do it for this week's Beaver Sports Podcast. Thanks for joining us. See you again next week. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, brought to you by Hum Kombucha, handcrafted with love in Bend, Oregon for Beaver Nation. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.